Job 21. Job replies to Zophar, "Listen diligently to my speech. Let this be your consolation. Allow me, and I also will speak. After I have spoken, mock on." It's as if he's saying, "Listen, please, carefully to what I am saying, instead of just condemning me. Oh, yeah, you've suffered, therefore you must have sinned. Sure, and I reckon you've sinned in this way or the other way." Job's saying, "Look, just can you just listen to me?" And they're obviously not listening to him. And this is how dialogue goes when it breaks down, that people are not engaging with each other's words. They're just so sure that they are judging the person correctly and accurately, and they know all about this person. They're not actually listening to what the person is saying. And this is a great example of it here. "As for me," Job says, "is my complaint to man? Why shouldn't I be impatient?" Well, that again is a weakness, I think, in Job, that he considers that his terrible situation justified him being impatient. He's impatient for God to explain to him what's happening and for God to do justice and stop the innocent man suffering. And it's not right to say, "Well, why shouldn't I sin? Why shouldn't I feel like that or yell or shout and scream because I was being provoked?" No, that's wrong logic. And yet God very graciously says through James in the New Testament, "You've heard of the patience or the endurance of Job." And yet here Job admits he's impatient. Why shouldn't I be impatient? I think we must understand that the word patient, as used by James, really means endurance. James is saying, look, he endured. Even though, as you can see, there were times when he was very impatient, and he admits he's impatient. So it's the overall direction of somebody's life that God looks at, rather than the failures or the impatiences of a moment when under stress. "Look at me and be astonished. Lay your hand on your mouth. When I remember, I'm troubled. Horror takes hold of my flesh. Why do the wicked live, become old, yes, and grow mighty in power?" He's saying, look, the wicked prosper. So your theory that I'm wicked because I'm suffering and the righteous get blessing, this is not true, because the wicked have long lives. Their child is established with them in their sight, their offspring before their eyes, whereas Job's children have been killed. Their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them. Their bulls breed without fail, their cows calve and don't miscarry. They send forth their little ones like a flock. Their children dance. They sing to the tambourine and harp. They spend their days in prosperity. In an instant they go down to Sheol, to the grave. That is, they die suddenly, a painless death in old age. They don't suffer. Yet they tell God, 'Depart from us, for we don't want to know about your ways. Who is the Almighty that we should serve him? What profit should we have if we pray to him?'" So these people don't pray, they don't even believe in God, and yet they have long lives, happy kids apparently, and prosperity. "Behold, their prosperity is not in their hand. The counsel of the wicked is far from me. How often is it that the lamp of the wicked is put out, that their calamity comes on them, that God distributes sorrows to them in his anger? How often is it that they are as stubble before the wind, as chaff that the storm carries away?" So he's saying, look, judgment doesn't come on them. And yet, as we saw in chapter 19, he comes to the conclusion that, well, judgment must come, but pretty obviously it doesn't come in this life. Therefore, there must be a day of the resurrection of the body at the last day, and a judgment when the wicked really are punished and the righteous really are rewarded. Job goes on, "You say, 'God lays up his iniquity for his children. Let him recompense it to himself that he may know it. Let his own eyes see his destruction. Let him drink of the wrath of the Almighty. For what does he care for his house, his family after him, when the number of his months is cut off?'" So Job is saying, yeah, you might say that the wicked don't suffer personally, but their families do. And Job is saying, well, no, I don't agree. This wicked person has got to, with his own eyes, feel and experience his own destruction, and has got to personally drink of the wrath of God. He doesn't care about his family, whether they're going to suffer or not after he's dead and gone. So, yeah, Job is reasoning himself towards the truth that such people will be resurrected and judged when Jesus returns. Shall any teach God knowledge, since he judges those who are high? One dies in his full strength, being wholly at ease and quiet, with pails full of milk, the marrow of his bones is soft. Another dies in bitterness of soul, never tasted any good. They lie down alike in the dust, the worm covers them. Behold, I know your thoughts, the devices which you think wrongly about me. Job is saying, no, sure, the good and the bad, they lie down together in the grave, covered in worms, but no, there will be a judgment. That's the implication when the resurrection comes. You say, where is the house of the prince? Where's the tent in which the wicked lived? Haven't you asked wayfaring men? He's saying, you just listen to this, that your theory that the wicked are punished now is just from just passing people. Don't you know the evidence that the evil man is reserved to the day of calamity, that they are led forth to the day of wrath? Understand to mean that they'll be resurrected. They'll be led forth to the day of wrath and judgment at the last day. Who shall declare his way to his face? Who shall repay him what he has done? The answer is not man, not in this life, but God will do so at the last day. He will be carried to the grave. Men shall keep watch over his tomb. The clods of the valley shall be sweet to him. So how can you comfort me with nonsense? Because in your answers there remains only falsehood. So Job is telling it how it is. He's saying that it is nonsense. And there's no harm at times in actually calling something for how it is. He's saying it is nonsense to say that if you're righteous, you get blessed in this life, and if you sin, then you suffer. And I'm a sinner because I'm suffering. This is nonsense, he's saying. This is false. And the more he realizes it's wrong, the stronger is his faith in the coming of that future day of resurrection and judgment. And it's the same with us. The more disillusioned you get with the false answers that you're given and the untruths that you're told by people, the more you come to appreciate the utter truth of God that is in his word, which in our days in the Bible.